If you've got your Bibles, I'm going to be in the book of Matthew, chapter number 25. And if you will, leave your Bibles open. Matthew chapter 25. I'll begin reading at verse number 31. And I'm not going to get finished with this today. I don't know how many sermons I'm going to be preaching on this. There's just too much here to talk about. And I feel like it's needed. There's a lot of churches that is preaching otherwise. They will tell you that there is no hell. Universalism, it's prominent, it's rampant. The Unitarian Church, different religions, Buddhism, for one, teach that there's no hell. And you're not going to stand before God in judgment and say, that preacher never told me. And a lot of people say that that it's just something the church come up with to have something to preach about to scare people into Christianity. I wish that was the case. This is Jesus' writing here, and he said, and when the Son of Man shall come forth, shall come in his glory. I like that. I'm going to read that again. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. I want you to notice with me, there's just two categories here. Sheep and goats. The saved and the lost. Those that are redeemed and those that are not redeemed. Then the king shall say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked. And you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. And then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? And when saw thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. And then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Notice this next phrase, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and you gave me no meat. And I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in, and naked, and you clothed me not, sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall also they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye did it not to one of these, the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The words there, everlasting and eternal, they mean the same thing. It means eternity without end. Eternity without end. If we understand eternity, I would hope to think this morning that we would not want to go to that awful place called hell. If we understand really about eternity, I think we would want to go to a place, a wonderful place called heaven. And listen to me. There are no places in between. It's one or the other. I get asked this question a lot. Why would a loving God send someone to hell? Good question. But the answer is he doesn't. People send themselves to hell. Matter of fact, God wants you to go to heaven. Well, preacher, you got scripture? You ought to know me better than that by now. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. It said, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all, that's A-double-L, all should come to repentance. He wants you to go to heaven. We just read in the scriptures that hell was created for the devil and his angels. If you go there, you will go as an intruder. Matter of fact, God never intended for anything that He created to go to hell. You know, in the Bible, hell is the only thing that I read of that was God created that wasn't big enough. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 14. And therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. Why? Because people rejected God. Why did God have such a place? You know, God always wanted to have fellowship with His creation. We go back into the Bible and the book of Genesis to Adam and Eve, and God walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening in the Garden of Eden. He had fellowship with him. He told them that there's only one tree that you cannot eat of, and that's the knowledge of good and evil. You'll find out at the end of the book, there's two things that happen. Remember, God always wanted to have fellowship. In the book of Revelation, you'll find out that Jesus takes a bride. Jesus gets a bride, and then God gets a family. That's all God ever wanted to begin with. He wanted fellowship with His creation. But Adam sinned. God has always given everyone free will. And there is only two choices. You say, well, God has providence. He is all powerful. Listen to me. He will not force you to love Him. Forced love is not true love. He gives you a choice. Your constant rejection of a perfect God is no excuse. We talk about hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. Well, I want you to think about something with me this morning. Satan was perfect when he was created. But he had a will, and he spoiled it. The angels was perfect when they was created. But they had free will. In Jude, verse number 6, you'll read in the Bible there that it said, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, He hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of that great day. What judgment? Well, we'll have a part of that judgment. They made that decision. He didn't throw them out. He did not make them do it. It was their choice. They had a choice to choose. And they chose. I'm not talking this morning about the power of the mind. I'm talking about the condition of the soul. I'm going to go back to Adam and Eve for just a minute. Adam was perfect. Eve was perfect. The Garden of Eden. Eden means paradise. Everything was perfect in the Garden of Eden. They had perfect health. They had perfect peace. All creation got along. It was a place of... We can't even imagine how it was like there. No death, no sickness. It was perfect in every way. But they chose to do what God said not to do. They still had free will. Now, there's only two theologies to follow in the Garden of Eden. Number one, either God made them sin and die, or number two, they chose to go against God's will and eat the fruit and die. They had free will. You only have two choices, heaven or hell, God or Satan. Right or wrong, you cannot stand in the middle. But God does something great. He said, I'm going to give you another chance. I will send my son. They called him Jesus. He was perfect in every way. Not a fault found in him. All he ever done was went around and healed the sick, opened blinded eyes, made the lame to walk again, the dumb to speak, the deaf to hear, raised the dead up from the tomb. You know, I read of three different instances in the Bible where Jesus interrupted funeral processions and raised the dead. A perfect Savior. Stood before Pilate. He said, I find no fault in this man. But you know what the crowd done is they chose. They said, give us Barabbas. It was free will. And they said, give us Barabbas. They chose to kill him. In Revelation chapter 20, I want you to go there if you will. And I know the book of Revelation, sometimes it can be a little bit overwhelming. And it may be over my head, but it's still in the Scriptures. Are you still with me? He's coming back. The church has been raptured, and the redeemed are with Him. They come back with Him. And He establishes a kingdom here. The final judgment of the sheep and the goats we just read about in Matthew chapter 25. This is what we're reading about here in Revelation chapter 20. This comes at the end of a 1,000-year reign or period known as the millennial kingdom. A time when He redeems the earth because man has sinned. You know, just because Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, we think that man is the only thing that was cursed. The ground was cursed because the ground is what man came from. The ground is what man goes back to. All creation has to be redeemed. The rapture comes first. Then the dead in Christ shall rise. You'll have 7 years of tribulation here on the earth. But then Jesus comes back with his saints and establishes a kingdom here on this earth. Let's read a little bit in verse number 1 of chapter 20. And it says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand." Now, the bottomless pit here is not the same as the lake of fire. They are two different places. He said, "And death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire. And this is where the devil and his angels will be held." And he said, and laid hold of the old dragon, that serpent. He tells us who he's talking about, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. That's that millennial kingdom I'm talking about. "And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till," that's important, "till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. This is the group that is given to Christ during the great tribulation period. He said, "But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. And blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. That's us. That's us, church. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the seas. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city." They're coming against the perfect Messiah and against that holy city. Did you get that? They chose to reject him again. "And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that received them was cast into the lake of fire." Notice this is not the bottomless pit. The lake of fire and brimstone, and the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Eternity. Life forever. Lucifer was made perfect and made the wrong choice. Angels were created in perfection and made the wrong choice. Adam and Eve was created in perfection and made the wrong choice. Jesus came in all of his glory, perfect, no fault found in him, and they made the wrong choice. Give us Barabbas. 1,000 years, they're with him, and they see the peace on earth, and they're deceived by Satan yet once again, and make the wrong choice in the book of Revelations. I'm going to reiterate the question again. Why would God send people to hell? There's only two types of people that ask that question. Sincere people who want an answer, and cynical people who don't want an answer. The right question is not, why would God send people to hell? But the right question is why would a person reject a perfect God? Heaven will only be occupied by people who choose to follow Him. C.S. Lewis, many believe that he lost his way when his wife got cancer and died. Don't get me wrong, I don't like death. It's uncomfortable. I face it. I see it a lot as a minister. I've stood beside of many a bedside of a passing loved one. People in the hospital, people at home on hospice. But death is a reality. And after death, there is eternity. But I made a decision to go to a place where we'll never die. Conscious or subconsciously, you have two. I like to talk about a place called heaven. A place where he said he went to prepare a place for me. A mansion of my own. But there's also another place that's called hell. And it's for all eternity also. C.S. Lewis, after he found his way back, he made the statement, and I'm quoting here, that there are only two kinds of people in the end. Those who say to God, "Thy will be done." And those to whom God says, "Thy will be done." It's your choice. You chose this. God never sent anybody to hell. You went there as an intruder. C.S. Lewis also said, all who are in hell chose it. Without that self-choice, there would be no hell. No soul that seriously and constantly desires joy will ever miss it. Those who seek will find, and those who knock, it will open to them. Every choice that you make will have a consequence. You have to take the responsibility for your choices. I'm saved today because I chose to ask Him into my life. Chose to have a relationship with Him. It's one of two places, one of two choices. What will it be this morning? Stand with me if you will. Come back to the music if you will. I would like to stand here this morning and tell you that there's no hell. But in good conscience, I can't. I wouldn't want anybody to go there. A place that was not created for creation. It was created for Satan and the angels. But there are people being lulled asleep in church pews all over this nation, thinking they can live however they want to live. And a loving God would never send anyone to hell. Eternity is creeping up on them. Your days are numbered. The Bible teaches it's appointed unto man once to die. After that, the judgment. I don't know when that is. Today, Sister Barbara would have been 86 years old had she had lived. But if you talked to her last year, she probably had no idea that she wouldn't be here for her birthday today. I told Brother Larry back there a while ago this morning. I said, "Brother Larry, you realize that we're next." And the sad part about it is, young people, you have no guarantee that you're not going to go before I do. Go ahead and play if when you're ready. The altar's open. Maybe someone feels the need to pray this morning. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just telling you about the reality of what Jesus said. You'll either be counted with the sheep or you'll be counted with the goats. You'll either be on the right hand or the left hand. You'll either be in heaven or you'll be in hell. He'll either say, you've been faithful over a few things, or he'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I know you not. Choices. The choice is yours. He could force you to love him, but what good would that? That's not true love. He wants a relationship with you. Pure and honest. Would you come this morning? The choice is yours. Will you accept him? Or will you be like the crowd? Give us Barabbas.